Time to explain the Destiny Lore podcast, where friends come together to talk about Destiny lore. This is episode 22. I'm Mike. My pronouns are he, him, and with me as usual is my co-host Kit.
Hi, it's me, Kit. My pronouns are he, him, or they, them.
What's up, Kit?
Not too much. Another day. Another day in paradise.
Oh. That's good.
It's ironic. The state of the world is terrible. But that's okay. We are trying to work on it.
Yep.
A better world is possible. I think it's been very easy to give in to feelings of doom, so I've been trying to combat those by taking action to try and make things a little bit better. A lot of that has been like storm relief projects for like people impacted by Hurricane Ida recently, as well as I'm a big fan of just tossing $5 anywhere you can. So it's the hurricane, and then also funds that help people get access to abortions in Texas and other places where it's difficult to do that. So I'm trying to focus on those things and not the fact that everything is shit.
That's good.
And I would encourage anyone who's feeling that doom feeling to try and do the same as much as they can.
Yes.
I don't know. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I guess last time we talked, the hurricane was, like, impending.
Yeah.
It came and went and left a lot of destruction in its wake, even here in the Northeast, which is not normal for us, so. Yes, I also had lots of people in my life impacted by that, which is, very stressful.
Yeah.
So, the not that the hurricane needs to come knock on your door for people to realize the climate emergency, but, you know.
Doesn't hurt.
Yeah. aside from the tragedy, I hope it illustrated some things. And I'm not talking about people in power, because there's no hope to be had there.
The hope
is in the proletariat banding together and revolution.
Yeah, nothing so. Nothing less, baby.
Yep. That's the only way that we get through this. So.
Yep. And holding on to that has been important.
Yes.
For me lately. So. Yeah. You know, that's the
just in case you forgot what podcast you were listening to.
Space leftists, as it were. So that's the real world story for the week.
really did not like this last week's story updates in real life.
Yeah, they were a little bit hard to believe, I would say. Did not like them one bit.
This writer fucking sucks.
They just keep making bad things happen. I don't...
it's starting to get unbelievable.
Yeah, it's like the series of unfortunate events over here. I think it's jumped the shark a bit.
Before we get into the Season of the Lost weekly story, there were a couple things I wanted to follow up on from our discussion from last week. So I went back and refreshed my memory. We were talking about Mara's plan, and I was kind of recapping what I remembered happening from the year of visiting Mara in her court post-Forsaken. And giving that as evidence towards my not theory, that's not the right word.
Interpretation?
I was saying that... Interpretation, thank you. I was saying that my interpretation of where Mara went and what she was doing was going out to confront the Black Fleet. And that's where she was away this whole time. And I went back, I thought to myself... I remember Mara leaving a message on Zaval's answering machine. I should go back and listen to that and see what she said. And so I did that. And I think that message gives credence to my interpretation that she was out fighting the Black Fleet. Mm-hmm. I'll put a link to it, to a video of it, down in the show notes, but... I think that is what she was away doing, and she talks about she was not successful. The short version, she was unsuccessful, and so kind of the impression I got was she's kind of coming back with her tail between her legs a little bit. Like fuck, that didn't work. Okay, back to the drawing board, kind of.
Right.
And
I might actually need some help to deal with this.
Yes, yes.
To me, it was the kind of the vibe I got was that she kind of thought, well, I can just go and fight this thing on my own because I am so powerful. I am the queen of the Awoken. And then to me, it felt very much like, you know, she was sort of coming back humbled and not... She's a little proud to ask for help directly, I feel, but that was the thrust of what she was saying to me.
Yeah, she wouldn't ask. She would just say, "You are helping me now."
Yeah, right.
You are going to help me.
Right.
Period.
Yes. Which is the way that people who are used to power think of other people and speak to other people.
It was funny how she ends her message because she's kind of, it seems like she already knows that Savathun is waiting for her when she comes back. Which is interesting because that voice line, I think, came out in Season of the Hunt, so mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, at the time, it's like, you don't know that that's literally what's gonna happen.
Right.
So it's just kind of fun.
Right, I thought that was like a sort of a more vague, reference, I guess, to, you know, Savathun will always be like waiting in the shadows. But actually it's kind of like that message is, you know, on the answering machine is sort of sandwiched between two Osiris messages, right? One of which is actually from the real Osiris. And the second of which occurs after he has been taken over or replaced by Savathun, which we know because it's after Sagira. Like, he's talking about Sagira having died. And we know that that's the moment when that changeover happened. So there was kind of a hint there that I really didn't pick up on at the time, but it was more specific, like, Savathun will be waiting. Here's Savathun, like, right into it. So, you know, I thought, yeah, that was it's definitely one of those things where I didn't catch any of it at the time, and I don't know that there was really any way to do it, but in hindsight, they planted this seed, you know, at the beginning of that, of Season of the Hunt, which is nice. It feels like they're actually writing, like, in longer arc at a time rather than, you know, sometimes, like, in seasonal things like TV shows, it's like they'll write themselves into a corner and then write themselves out, like, without really planning too far ahead because they don't know how much time they're going to have. That's not what's happening. Yay!
Writing the end point first.
Yeah.
What a concept.
Who'd have thunk it?
I'm playing back through some of this year's expansions on alternate characters, and I just got to a point in Season of the Chosen where they discover the Cabal using the Vex technology to predict Zavala is going to die and trying to, like, make that happen, but with the assassination plot. And there's a cutscene where you're talking with Crow and Osiris in the helm, and Crow is like, shouldn't we tell Zavala about this? And Osiris, quote-unquote Osiris, is like, nah, he doesn't need to know about it. As long as you go and take care of it, there won't be anything to tell him. And now knowing what we know about that being Savathun, I'm like, Savathun.
I was going to say.
Savathun.
Savathun.
I'm like, oh yeah, we don't need to tell him, huh? Okay.
And Crow takes that. Crow is like, okay.
Yeah.
Because
it's like, all right, yeah, vote of confidence for me.
Right.
You trust me to go to handle it.
God, poor Crow. Crow and Aldrin both as, like, manipulated by people who have power over him, kind of mercilessly.
Yeah, speaking of, there was a radio message that I missed from last week, because it's not very well advertised, that it's there. And it's right next to a bunch of other stuff, so it's kind of hard to understand that there's a different prompt to activate it.
Yeah.
In the helm, in the next to the teleporter for Mara. There was a conversation last week between Mara and Ikora, and Mara says something along the lines of, Ikora's calling her out, doubting that Osiris is even still alive. Like, she's like, how could you make this deal? This is fucked up.
Right.
With Savathun. And Mara touches on kind of what we were talking about last week about the plan, this nebulous plan, and says this is a plan long in motion. And Ikora calls her out on not letting anyone else in on that plan, which is kind of what we were saying.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool that got put into a character's mouth in the game. Those are the things that I wanted to follow up on from last week.
Yeah, that Mara and Ikora conversation kind of felt to me like a little bit like a power struggle between these two characters. Mara declines to let Ikora in, really. She says, like, you know, oh, remember who you're talking to. Like, you know, I hold all the information. And it's like, well, you could share it, but she's not going to, because that would mean letting go of some of her power. I don't know. Thinking a lot about Mara as a character this season so far. Is she our hero? Is she our villain? Is she kind of both? to me, that felt very much, that conversation you're talking about, very much like them kind of vying for control of knowledge and information, which Ikora has lots of, you know, in her role as the lead spy master of the Vanguard, has, you know, a vested interest in trading information. And yeah
I'm sure part of it is also like Ikora is, she's been knocked down a few pegs because she's like, Savadun was like literally right in front of me, so I'm sure she's also like, she may be lashing out.
Yeah.
Where maybe she wouldn't have before.
Right.
Because she feels, like, defeated. I don't know.
Yeah, or responsible, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, she definitely feels responsible.
Yeah.
Like, she, you know, she's pissed.
I don't blame her.
Yeah.
So, we're going to move into talking about week two of the season of The Lost.
Yeah.
So there will be spoilers for this week's story update from here on out. If you haven't done it, check it out. I remembered to do spoilers this time. Spoiler warning, which I always
Thank
forget.
You.
yep, here on out, we're going to talk about the new shit. Okay, the new shit.
Okay, the new shit. I don't know if there's even 5 sentences worth of update.
Nah, probably not.
But I could try to give just a quick summary. You might need to fill in some of my gaps.
Sure, let's do it.
Okay, so I think if I recall, what kicks off this week is there's not like some big event that happens. It's more following the ley lines thread in the ascendant plane that we're working through this season. There's a shift in the ley lines, and a new path has opened up in the ascendant plane, and so Mara sends us to go investigate and see if we can rescue another Tekkian. I think that's what kicks us off this week, right?
Yep, yeah.
Okay. Ha! And, I remember.
And the appearance of more of the skews as well.
Right.
Which is the other quest, I guess, the exotic quest, not the story quest.
Right.
But those are the two new things that begin.
Yeah, the other new thing is when we go into the ascendant realm, the ascendant plane, there's Scorn in there.
Yeah.
What the fuck are these Scorn doing in here?
How did they get in there?
Yeah.
And they don't seem to be taken Scorn, they're just Scorn.
Right. Yep.
Which is weird.
Exactly. Yeah, and there's a little voice line, which I will talk about in a minute.
Yeah, it's the Scorn and the Ascendant Plane thing. So the Ascendant Plane this week is the Tangled Shore. It's like, you know, the sort of the upside down version of the Tangled Shore, which obviously has Scorn as a major enemy type. So I don't know, you know. My first thought when they showed up was like there was some sort of a more of a slippage between the worlds, like more of the ordinary like physical plane kind of bleeding through into the ascendant plane. But the mechanics of all that, you know, how that actually works in world, kind of, I don't know how. Like, did the Scorn go through a portal to get into the Ascendant realm like we do? Or, I don't know. I mean, I don't 100% understand exactly how it works still. the Ascendant Plane, to be entirely honest, even though I've been paying attention to it. I still don't quite get it. But you think this voice line, like, sheds some light on it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So what did you find? Because I don't think I heard this.
Ikora had a voice line being like, Scorn in the Ascendant Plane, this is likely because of Kallus' experiments on the Glykon.
Oh.
So this is like a relatively recent development.
Huh.
This is all the fallout from that.
Huh. Okay, I'll have to think about that. How would Kallus' experiments on the Glykon have caused Scorn to appear in the Ascendant Realm?
Yeah, I think because they were able to, like, they went into the black hole. That's where Mars used to be.
Okay, yes.
So they found a way in that way, because that's because of that connection that got made. And they, like...
Okay. Got it. That makes sense.
There's a lot of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's, like, a lot of stuff with the Ascendant Realm about making things a reality based on the strength of your will.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why, like, some people go to the Ascendant Realm and, like, retain their physical form and create things like the Shattered Throne, etc.
Uh-huh.
But why other people, like Toland, are just a little birthday boy.
Okay.
So I think my reason for saying that is there's an aspect to the stuff on the Glykon where it's like all the Scorn's minds also made a connection to, like, I mean, they had the crown, so it's probably, you know, Savathun is involved.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But also, like, there's an aspect of that mind melding, like...
Okay.
Stuff.
Gotcha.
Going on.
Okay.
So it's like, I think that also is part of it, where they were in the right place at the right time, and also they like, whatever connection got made with them and the darkness, both of those things are, like, key.
Okay.
I think.
All right. That makes more sense to me now. Thanks for explaining that a little bit more in depth.
Yeah. Once we're in there this week, the other thing is more discussion on Zivu Arath and another adjustment that I'm making based on people saying it.
Arath, huh? Okay.
Yeah, Arath instead of Arath. I don't know. Somebody at Bungie started making decisions.
Yeah.
So the discussion there is that she is that there are fragments of moon apparently floating around in the Ascendant Realm.
Oh, is that what those are?
Apparently.
Ah, okay.
And I don't think we've seen them. I think they're just kind of discussing them.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're somewhere else. And lots of references to Books of Sorrow, where they're talking about, like, these are like hive war moons, which is when the hive hollow out a moon and fill it with hive and then just send it crashing into something.
Wow.
The
world's worst, like, Cadbury egg or whatever. Wouldn't you just hate that? Ugh.
That would be the worst.
No thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're saying, like, oh, seems like she's building up for a future invasion, like not even what we're doing right now, but something in the future. And then the discussion turns to, well, who is Zivu Arath working for if it's not Oryx? And then the line is something about is it, you know, they kind of have the discussion that we had last week about, like, well, if it's not Oryx, who is it? Is it the worm gods? Is it something older? And I don't know if we've ever heard about anything older, so, you know, the characters are speculating as much as we are, which is interesting.
Yeah.
In that cutscene from last week with the illustration, like animation.
Yep.
There is a, I went back and watched that again, and there is a brief second where it shows the traveler, and it shows there's like Savathun's like symbol like floating around in front of it, and then it like morphs into a giant worm for like a second, and I'm like, okay,
yeah,
it would make sense to me if it was a worm god, because Savathun is trying to get rid of her worm.
Right.
And even though she's been trying to do that for a long time, she's like, it seems like she has the best chance of doing it now.
Yeah.
So it's like, that would be plausible to me.
Mm-hmm. It's nice
for them to, yeah.
It's nice to see Destiny setting up like another big bad. Like, whether it is the Worm Gods or something else, as Savathun becomes more of a character that we're actually interacting with, you know, sort of day to day here, and less of a abstract, like, you know, big enemy, at least right now. I mean, again, the Witch Queen obviously is coming down the pipe, but you know, to me, this started to seem, combined with what we'll talk about a little bit later with Savathun making reference to like a higher power than her. To me, it seems like they're starting to plant seeds for, you know, the end of the Light and Darkness saga, as they describe it.
Yes, yes. And I think if they're gonna do that, closing the loop on the Books of Sorrow stuff that got set up there is a great way to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
Because that, to me, has always been the story, which we kind of talked about with Jez way back when we were speculating with them.
Mm-hmm.
So that would make sense to me, to be like, we are closing off this avenue of, like, kind of like we talked about, like, we're okay with not making this a mystery anymore.
Right.
Like, we're gonna, you have Savathun in front of you now, we don't need to, like, be cheeky about it in lore cards anymore. We're just gonna close this out.
Right.
So that seems plausible to me. I would like that.
Yeah.
I would like to know what of that writing is intentionally bullshit and what isn't.
Yeah. Right.
It's been long enough.
Yeah.
So yeah, we go to Ascend and Plane. We do the thing, get the Tekken. We go back. There's more SKUs. We get the SKUs, and we get another exotic quest step. And another thing I like about this is continued voicing out loud of Awoken lore right to the player.
Mm-hmm. Mara saying, like, I created the Awoken.
Did you... I was wondering if you got the same voice line here, because when I first started it up, Mara said something along the lines of, like, I know you already know all this. Like, I know you already know about the Awoken's history, but I'm going to tell you this anyway.
Huh. I don't...
Did she also say that to you?
I don't think so.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, I think that's one of those, like, veteran, you know, player things.
Yeah, because I was wondering, I'm like, I wonder if you only get this line if you played through Forsaken and, like, got the lore books or something.
Yeah, I don't think I did get, I know you already know all this.
Okay, I mean, it wasn't, it wasn't that blatant, but it was along those lines.
So yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, I think it's one of those.
Yeah, it's sometimes it's hard for me to know when that is happening.
Yep, that's what I'm here for. Yeah, it really clarified for me the extent to which Mara is responsible for creating the Awoken, almost in like a godlike way. You know, she sort of frames it as, I could have made them anything, and I made them slash us this. Using my willpower, so kind of like what we were talking about before with the Ascendant Realm being a place where your will becomes manifest, and the stronger it is, the more you're able to manifest something. So for me, this was very, like, kind of eye-opening about Mara as, like, almost like a creator god, much more so than I'd ever realized before. And it made me, you know, I was really creeped out by the way she talked about Uldren / Crow. She says something about filling the gaps in his memory. This is in the, when you go to the, what's that called? The Caliburn Gatehouse. Going to say the lighthouse. And when you're in the gatehouse, she talks a little bit more about this. But it really, the fact that Mara, like, not only could create the Awoken people sort of in this image, but also because she was using her will to create things, can do something like manipulate someone's memory. That's super scary to me, and it drew kind of this connection to me between her and Clovis Bray in a weird way, and, you know, with, like, the Exos also having false memories being implanted, and Clovis is obviously, like, a big villain. Mara is not saying this, you know, as, like, and I deeply regret, you know, doing this or anything like that. Mara's just saying, like, yeah, he needed this, so I did it to him, because, like, that's my will, I am powerful, this is the order of things. Again, this just very, like, she's just used to having the power and doesn't see anything wrong with that. Sees it all as, like, part of aligning everything to her will, including something as intimate as someone's memories, which is weird to me. I was like, you're scary. And that's kind of, you know, she is deciding what's true and what's fake, using those terms and those words for, you know, this is true, this is not true. And again, we're getting, you know, the parallel of her and Savathun, with, you know, truth is a funny thing, which, again, you don't have to show it to me before every YouTube video I watch. I already bought the expansion. I get that trailer line, like, all the time in my internet browsing. But yeah, this for me really, like, kind of opened my eyes to, you know, this aspect of Mara's character. This, you know, I mean, this conviction that she knows what's best for everyone and a willingness to change things to suit her and keep her in power over people in whatever way. Which, as a monarch, I guess we shouldn't really be surprised about this.
Yeah, that aspect of her sucks. I like Mara, but she definitely has the capacity to be extremely shitty.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes her an interesting character. But yeah.
Yeah. No, she's a great character.
And she's not like all powerful. She had it's interesting because we're getting Mara's first person perspective on the story that's told to us in the Mara Sena, which I think is really cool. Not only is it giving it directly to the player without you having to go read that stuff, which is great, but it's also, having read that stuff, it's cool to hear what are the differences between her perspective of it and what is in the book.
Right.
In the Mara Sena, like, it would be interesting to hear more about that moment because what I always took away from that was like she just happened to be yes, she wanted to be first, so she like took the action that put her in that position.
You mean going out onto the hull of the ship to meet the thing first?
I thought she was out there already, like coincidentally, and
I
then
can't.
shit started going down, and she was like, "Well, I'm going in. Like, I'm already out here. I'm just gonna fucking go
Yeah,
for it." I don't
that might
know.
be
I could
right.
be misremembering that,
I'll look it up later.
but she, either way, she puts herself in the place she needs to be. Not really knowing what's gonna happen, but just wanting to be the one that writes first in the comment section.
At that point, she's just a regular person making a decision.
Right.
She doesn't know anything that any, she has no special knowledge.
Right, exactly. And the other than how to manipulate people.
Which she's always been good at.
Yeah. So then there is a question for me of like is the Mara Sena supposed to be an in-universe story? Like how much of it is an in-universe story like the Maraid is, and how much of it is just like Bungie just giving us the backstory.
Yeah, right. Like, how reliable is that? Is the narrator of that kind of story? Like, I don't
So
know.
then it's like, did she tell somebody that story? Like, for all those intimate details to be in there? That's
Right.
what kind of trips me up. It's
Right,
like, it
right.
feels like there's an omnipotent or omnipresent, whatever it is. Like, there's a
Omniscient,
omniscient narrator.
knowing, I'm knowing, it's om knowing. Yeah, it does. You're right. You're right. Interesting, huh?
I feel like Mara wouldn't give away those details.
Right.
Like, there's a story of,
But
yeah,
someone
like.
could be, she could have given away some of it, and someone, in universe could very easily be embellishing.
I guess,
But I
yeah.
guess it's hard to imagine her letting that, get out unless it served her for some way. Anyway,
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
impossible to really know, but these are
Yeah,
some of the
yeah.
questions that are fun about reading lore, is like thinking about that stuff.
Right.
Like that's what makes the lore of Destiny more fun and interesting than other things, is like that kind of stuff isn't always clear, which is gives it's nice to think about.
Right.
So.
So my takeaway from the book version of was like she is in the right place at the right time, gets caught between the light and darkness clashing against each other, and like that moment in time by the consequences of that are she gets to make this choice. Like that wasn't that wasn't something she would have been able to do otherwise.
Right.
And then the rest of the story of the Awoken in the Distributary as like the fallout of that decision.
Right.
Over time is when she like developed power of her own after the fact. But like that act of creation wasn't like her. It wasn't all her.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
But still, it's still a lot of power that she had from the beginning.
Yeah, like once that came out, especially.
Yeah.
That is why she's held. Like that's why she's held with such reverence by the Awoken people. Mm-hmm. But then, yeah, also helps that she became a tech witch.
Yeah. Right. Right. Tech witch is fucking good. Destiny's
good.
Yeah,
it's good.
Fucking love it.
Yeah.
Give it to me.
So at the end of the week, we get our chat with Savathun.
A little tea time with Savathun.
Yeah, and she does a little bit more. I was kind of taking it as a little bit more fourth wall breaking, where she references the quote that we've heard from over the years of in-game dialogue that says the line between light and dark is so very thin, and is like, yeah, we've heard it all before. Like, we've heard this. Aren't you getting sick of this? And then she talks about making a chalk. She's saying as if it's a chalk line on the ground. And I thought, why would she know what chalk is? Do we know what chalk is? Like, does our character know what chalk is in universe? I think this is her talking to us.
Yeah,
the player. So then she talks about standing on that the chalk line and looking up for the one that's been watching us since the beginning.
Is that
so
us?
So I'm like, yeah, then she's shifting to talk to our character and talking about us, the player controlling them.
Right.
This is just my interpretation. I don't know, you know, she could, that might not be the case, but I just thought it was cool. She answers some of our questions from last week that we brought up. What, you know, asterisks whether it is true or not.
Yeah.
But she says, we were asking, well, Savathun and Quiria were the ones causing the curse cycle in the Dreaming City, and those have been dealt with up to this moment. So why hasn't the curse cycle ended for, you know, in universe and not just mechanical, real world material reasons?
Uh-huh.
Not just for marketing purposes.
Right. Not just like there's a lot of content there.
Right. So she says that she cannot break the curse cycle without control of the Taken. And since Zivu Arath has control of the Taken, they're still stuck in the curse cycle.
I mean, yeah, I would buy that. I believe
like somebody
her.
Still has to give them the off command or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Somebody has to flip the switch.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, she said something too about words are just thoughts given shape. That, you know, we speak them into existence, like speaking ideas into existence. And something that I've always thought was kind of cool about the Hive was based on some scans from, like, Titan, I think, is where these were, and like ghost scans of Hive paraphernalia that
they left some bongs lying around.
Yeah. Yeah, the Hive are just you know, adding to, like, do you get high on ether, do you get drunk off queen's foil, do the Hive smoke that loud. But that hive runes, like, there's no difference between a word and its meaning. So, like, the like a rune that says death means literal death. I don't know. I thought I was kind of confused about her saying, like, oh, words are just thoughts given shape. But I thought that Hive had, like, a really, like, interestingly literal relationship with language. And that it wasn't just ideas. It wasn't just ideas being birthed by a mouth, but it was literal, like, the actual thing that they were talking about. You know, like, when you open a Hive door that has a, you know, a rune for door on it, like, you're literally opening a pathway in the world to go through it. So I wasn't sure if Savathun is just, like, pulling our leg, if this is just a, you know, a moment of the writing being kind of coy or what. But I always thought that that was, like, one of the cool things about the Hive was this kind of their relationship with, like, ideas and language as being the same as the literal thing that the language represents, which is very different from, you know, the kind of our human language, which imperfectly represents things.
Something I sort of related to this a little bit is it's been, you know, apart from what I've been saying about Savathun's pattern of speech, it's been a long time since a hive has directly spoken English to us.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, if you're playing the game in a different language, like, whatever that language is,
yeah,
like, that you, the player, understand, and the that characters in the universe understand. The last big one to me is Oryx.
Yep.
And when Oryx spoke to us, he talked like a big, scary monster man. there is a really funny cutscene from the that I always thought was so goofy, but I love it, like, not in a bad way. I genuinely think it's great, and it really, like, I love that it's that a goofy thing like this is in the game in D1. There's a scene where, like, one of Oryx's commanders is, like, giving him a status update on the war, and he just they're just all speaking English in this cutscene. But it's, like, scary monster men, but they're just giving, like, they're, like, just having a meeting. It's fucking hilarious to me. So...
Hello, Hive.
I love that video.
We'll link it. It's great. Oh, man.
It was definitely along those lines. Like, that's the closest we got in the game to that.
Uh-huh.
Greetings to you, Hive. But Savathun doesn't talk that way.
Right.
She doesn't talk like a big, scary monster lady. She talks like a very sweet-sounding any other character that we might interact with.
Mm-hmm.
Which of course plays up to her tricky nature, that she's, like, luring us in with the sweets.
Right.
And I listened more closely to her speaking this past week because it really started to get to me of, like, why does she sound like this? Like, this is such an interesting decision to make.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen really closely, there are like a couple of other voices underneath her, the more prominent one that we hear, and they are very modulated, creepy monster voices.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that this week too, the kind of it's like it sounds almost like more than one voice talking.
That is a very cool, subtle touch that they did.
Yeah, you can almost hear that monster voice underneath the sweet voice acting.
Yes, yes.
It's
like it is a voice that she is putting on, like she's doing some kind of physical act to make that voice come out. That she can't 100% hide her, what her real voice might sound like.
Right.
That's such a good touch to me. I love that.
Yeah, it was great.
It's so fucking creepy.
Yeah, it's great.
Because once you start hearing it, you can't unhear it. It
right.
just comes in at the edges every once in a while, and it's like, ugh.
Mm-hmm. It's good. It's effective.
I wanted to shout out the Savathun voice actor. Deborah Wilson is her name. You might recognize her from Mad TV from way back. Her other credit that really stands out to me was she was Seer in the Jedi Fallen Order game.
Oh. I never played that.
Seems like she has a very long list of voice acting credits, but that's probably like the most recent, biggest one that stood out to me.
Mm-hmm.
So she's doing a great job.
Yeah, definitely. I'm loving it.
And then to kind of cap everything off, we got another radio message of Saint looking for Osiris, like broadcasting across the airwaves.
Yeah.
Like kind of shouting his feelings into the void.
Yeah, he's just like sad posting on Twitter about his lost lover.
Ikora's like, yeah, you don't need to
of course,
you don't need to do that.
Yeah, she's like, write it in your journal maybe, or like, this is what private is for. She's like, make a finsta, Saint. Yeah.
It was sad.
It was also Ikora was like, you know, said something to him, you know, about like, oh, you could do this, you could do something else and you'd be more useful, and Saint says, you know, yes, I am, if nothing else, useful, which to me was sort of I thought Ikora was gentle with him and spoke kindly to him, you know, as a person who is experiencing clearly, you know, emotional distress. I also felt like it continued the thread of like, you know, go do something useful. Don't talk about your feelings about this. Don't, you know, just go do something useful. I'm telling you to, as, you know, the person who has authority over you, was a little bit, it was sad to me too, because Saint like took it on for himself very clearly. He's like, if nothing else, I am useful. Like I can be used as a tool. And Saint didn't seem to have any like problem with that, you know, or, but the tone.
I took it a different way.
Oh really? How'd you take it?
I took it of him being like, nobody fucking tells me anything. Like
he's so hurt
by what happened. And, like, so betrayed. It felt like him chafing up against the Titan. You know, Saint is, like, the archetypal Titan. And so that really felt to me like him like, wanting to be in touch with his emotional side.
Mm-hmm.
And society telling him, like, get back in your place. Like, your place is to eat crayons and punch things. Like, go do that.
Right. Huh.
You know, leave the thinking to us.
Okay. Ugh.
And him being like, yeah, fuck me, I guess. I tried to talk to my therapist, like, Cora, and she told me to just go punch things because that's what I'm good at.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And him being like, fuck me. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess. Yeah, great. Hooray, I'm useful. Like,
oof, yeah.
That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that also is a read of it. Does both make sense? We got a new Shattered Realm this week. Not much to say about that, just it's, I guess they're gonna rotate. Which is too bad because I didn't really thoroughly explore last week's Shattered Realm. But I guess it'll come back around, so.
Yeah. I guess this Shattered Realm is where all of the ableist platforming is ending up this season.
Yep.
I was kind of thinking, like, the new six-person activity, the Astral Alignment, I'm like, oh, there's not that much platforming. You get teleported in, and you gotta just jump down to where the arena is, but that's it.
Yeah. At least there's not a time limit on this. But it's still, yeah, like...
Oh, in the Shattered Realm.
In the Shattered Realm, yeah.
Yeah.
At least there's no timers you have to, like, put up with. But there are definitely some jumps in there that are real tricky to make.
Plus, there's this added mechanic of this, like, slow area where you can't do your... you can't do your augmented guardian jump.
Right.
You can't double jump or triple jump. You can just do one hop.
Yeah.
Like, why? Like, yeah. I have a different perspective on this these days.
Yeah.
Where, like, maybe I wouldn't have even had that thought in the past, but now that I have this perspective, it sticks out to me so much.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, this probably sucks for some people.
Yeah.
Like, this is probably, like, a nightmare.
Yeah.
Like, and to know, like, this is the main thing for until February of next year of, like, oh, great, thanks a lot.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I don't know. I could definitely see it being really difficult and frustrating. And I don't like to see anyone get frustrated playing any game. And it seems like, once again, it's going to go with, like, the same, you know, oh, well, you can make it easier by, like, leveling it up, but we want you to do it the hardest way first. Like, I think there might be, you know, upgrades in that compass that help you with some of that stuff, but...
Right, right.
Is it, you know, in order to get to those, you have to do it without them first, which kind of sucks as a design.
Yeah. Yep.
I'd like to do a brief proper noun review, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
My proper noun review of the week, my new favorite gun name, is Fractithist, the ice shotgun. What a silly name. What a very silly combination of letters. I love it. It's like, it feels exactly like all the Awoken stuff, all the Awoken, you know, area where they have, you know, the crystals interspersed with these, like, gorgeous structures that they've built, these kind of exposed rocky crystals and things, like, built into giant rock faces. It's perfect. It's like the perfect little portmanteau to describe, like, that kind of thing. Like, Fractithist is, like, fract, like, a fractal, or, like, broken, plus, like, amethyst. And the FR is kind of, like, a little bit, like, you know, frigid or freezing, you know, it gets that kind of cold vibe to it as well, so you can kind of think about that. I just, like, A+, 10 out of 10 proper noun. So good. Great job, Destiny. I love it. Excellent. 10 out of 10.
Nice. As usual, we have pages worth of stuff to talk about, but in the effort of making a reasonable length podcast, I think we're gonna keep shifting this stuff to subsequent weeks and just call it a day. How do you feel about that?
I think that's fine.
Okay.
So we will call it for the day. If you would like to check us out around the internet, you can find my Twitter at kit_boyote, posting bullshit 24 hours of the day, 7 days a week. Mike, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at my Twitter, which is at Matt Clubbin, making shit posts about this very podcast. You can also find me at my website, michaelmccubbin.com, or if you are so inclined, you can check out the Yu Yu Hakusho Watch Along podcast I do with our friend Andrew over at Watching Spirits on Twitter.
Yep. You can also send us an email. We have an email address. It is sometimetoexplain@gmail.com. Feel free to send us your thoughts, except for spoilers. Kindly refrain. And that's everything that I have to plug. So thank you so much to all of you in the listenership for joining us today, and we hope you'll join us next time on Sometime to Explain.
Now I perch above you, meticulous bird of prey. Why didn't I? Why didn't I?